Now, the conversion of Ireland's former regional technological institutes or Institute of Technology to technological universities has been a costly waste of money that has failed to honour the promises set out when they were launched, a new report has claimed. Researchers Joan Cleary and Brendan Guilfoyle from the MTU's Kerry campus, who are mathematics lecturers and researchers, said the promised TU bounce for the institutions in question has failed to materialise, with neither student enrolments nor the number of research students meeting projected levels. I spoke to Brendan Guilfoyle and first of all asked him about this report, how they came up with their findings and what it means.
Well, let me back up a little bit. That's the conclusion of a paper that's, 70 pages long. So we obviously have to give a lot of evidence to suggest if we're going to come to those kind of conclusions. So let me just explain the background paper. Myself and my colleague, Joan Cleary, about 2 years ago, we decided we'd look at how the formation of the TUs were. If we look now, the IOTs have merged to form TUs since 2018, the legislation was brought in, and it's now halfway through the kind of 10-year term that was being used as a kind of benchmark as to the success or otherwise of the project. And we went back, and what we did was we looked at everything that from around 2010-11, when these technological university mergers were first mooted and the lay of the land was established between 2011 and 2016, I suppose. There was a lot of coming back and forward between different institutions as to which ones were going to merge and which ones weren't. Because what we found, and this was one of the things we found, was that there was a very bad mix of policy. The policy was that somehow to become technological universities, the IOTs had to merge, but there was no indication as to which ones should merge. So there was no strategic or regional sense, other than maybe that because they happened to have no one else to dance with at that particular time or whatever. So what you ended up seeing then was between 2011 and 2016 or 18, there was a lot of different consortia coming together. It was quite hard to even keep track of that. So one of the things we did was just to document that policy background. Then we came to the say, well, how are we going to measure the success? And 2018, eventually the legislation was introduced. What we decided now, you could say, what is the point of a technological university? How does it differ from a regular university? How is it better than an institute of technology? All of these questions are debatable, and you'd find as many opinions as there are possibilities, really, in those kind of questions. But what we did in the paper was we said, well, let's look precisely what the Act said, because the Act defines what an Irish technological university is. It also lays out what it expects over a 10-year period to happen with these institutions. And what we also looked at was the submissions made by the institutions at the time of the merging and then forming of the TUs. And we said, well, how have things panned out? We've had a reasonable length of time, 5 years for most of them. Some of them are a little bit younger. They were a bit later to the game. But it was... And our conclusion, as you said, was pretty stark, was that an enormous amount of money has been spent on this merging project. According to data we got from the HEA, it's on the order of 360 million. So a significant amount of money. And then if you look at, say, for example, the criteria in the Act as to what a TU is, you find that many of the metrics that the TU's Act states as defining a technological university have either not been met or have in fact gone backwards. If you look, for example, at graduate student numbers, the institutions since merger have had a catastrophic effect on it. It seems to have had a catastrophic effect on the number of graduate students in the sector. The total number of students is also an issue. The universities seem to be just continually expanding, quite often at the cost of the technological university sector.
Just on that, Brendan, what does your report say about those graduate figures versus the overall figures? What's the picture of what's happened? What is the reduction rate?
Okay, so if you look at what the TU Act says, I mean, what is a technological university? To have the term university in the phrase, you have to have a significant amount of research going on. You have to have level 9, level 10. So these are masters and PhD students. So if you look at those numbers, you had to have at least 4% of your students had to be research students as defined by the Act. And that they had to have a credible plan in place at the time of merger to increase this this to 7% was the target. Most of the IoTs were fairly close to 4%, which, by the way, I would say is rather low on international standards for a technological university. 4% is a pretty low number anyway. But what you found is that, in fact, the graduate student numbers, the percentages have decreased against the overall, that they're going back downwards or stagnating for pretty much all of the five. We ended up with five TUs.
Do you take into account demographics when looking at that, or is that in any way impacted by the number of students that are going to universities instead?
There are, of course, a number of complicating factors. One is, of course, that the student population is increasing in Ireland over the last few years. I mean, it will change in time now. The Celtic Tiger, I guess a lot of people have kids, and at this point, the numbers have been increasing. But while the numbers in the TUs have been increasing, in a sense, with the share of the overall market between us and the students, our student intake, the universities are increasing by much bigger percentages than the TUs. Yeah.
What was the idea? I know you're talking about like the percentages for the number of graduates they should have at 4 to 7, but the overall, like, it's not that less people are going to college. Mm-hmm. It's that more people are going to the traditional universities instead of the TUs. Was the merger meant to change that?
There could be a lot of reasons as to why these things happen. Of course, these are big, complex systems, and obviously we've only taken one snapshot and we have to choose what it was that we were going to try and measure these things against. If you look at the university sector, and again, we focus mainly on the TUs because we wanted to compare them against their own metrics, the ones that they had themselves. So there are lots of other things going on in the university sector which may mitigate, for or against student numbers. But one thing that you should keep in mind is that merging two institutions is extremely costly for the institution. It's extremely costly in an amount of money, of course, and as I said, the figures are actually quite staggering. But there's also all the activity within the institution has to be directed inwards to try and merge the different systems that you have. And in doing that, you often lose some other activity that you would have been involved in, whether it happened to be student recruitment or new programs or development of any of those things, take a back seat in this merged situation where a lot of energy, a lot of personnel time, a lot of emphasis has to be put on trying to get the two institutions on the same footing, or the two or three institutions in some cases. So you could say that could have been one of the reasons why the attention has just been too much on this merger rather than on the education. I would also say that I learned a lot while studying, working out the what had happened. And one of the things that we discovered was that the funding mechanism for that is used to fund both the universities and the TUs is not fit for purpose. It involves a certain amount that's given per student, and then there's a huge amount at the top that is at the will or whim of the HEA to try and direct the institutions in different directions. When that was introduced, that immediately threw all the smaller institutions into deficit. This going back early 2000s, that this happened in the universities, a little later in the technological university, in the IoTs at the time. And it was clear at the time that was going to make smaller institutions like Tralee, like Tala and Dublin and those kinds, that they were going to have financial difficulties simply because the funding model had been changed. And that was the main stick, in fact, that was used to force the smaller institutions that they had to merge, or else, you saw most recently Dundalk, which was one of the ones that was kind of left without a partner at the end of the dizzy period of pairings that went on up to 2016, that they have now been told they have to merge with an institution outside of our own jurisdiction, Queen's University Belfast.
The other aspect of that then that you talk about is the effect on disadvantaged students. What are you saying about that in your report?
So, one of the things that we have discovered, if you look at the socioeconomic profiles of students who go to what were the former IoTs, the smaller IoTs tend to service the more disadvantaged students, ones from different socioeconomic background from the universities. And what we found is that, and this is probably one of the more worrying aspects of it, is that within the existing TUs, the smaller campuses are being disproportionately negatively affected. So if you look at, say, where all institutions institutions are struggling in some sense. But the smaller campuses have really had, I mean, our graduate program in Kerry has essentially, you know, has absolutely collapsed since merging. We went from 25 PhD students, I think, down to 4 or 5, literally in the space of a year, and it has barely recovered. So what we found was that, you know, that this funding model and the way this whole thing has worked out has been heavily to the disadvantage of the smaller campuses, and that these campuses are in fact the ones that tend to have provision for people, for example, who are working, who can't leave the workplace, or, you know, can't leave the region which they live, they can't afford to live in the city or whatever, which again suggests that these are the ones that are going to get much more disadvantaged because of these changes.
Brendan Guilfoyle there of the MTU talking about that report. We're going to hear more details on what they're saying about the process and what's happened out of it. We'll get to that after we take these. Yeah, we're going to hear more now from Brendan Guilfoyle of the MTU Kerry campus, who along with Joan Cleary did a report on the amalgamation of the ITs into technological universities.
Okay, and Brendan, with that in mind, you talk as well about the apprenticeship numbers in the IoT sector dropping, but a lot of that can be explained, obviously, by the financial crash and the lack of demand for that. But also, do you factor in the wider picture, and even with all your parameters there, the growth of the education training boards and the other pathways to apprenticeships outside universities or TUs? That picture has changed significantly in the time period you're talking about as well.
Exactly. In fact, we did discuss the apprenticeship, I think, in the paper, but it was in the earlier phase in around 2016, because this was an additional stress on the smaller institutions, was the collapse after the financial disaster of 2007-2008. Yeah. There was a collapse in apprenticeship numbers, and this just added the financial strain to the smaller institutions. Many of them had to shutter up large apprentice programs between 2011 and 2016, and that those kind of figures, again, we invoke those to show just the financial strain at that time, that, you know, it was amalgamate or perish, as a former president was told at the time, and the apprentice numbers. Now, that has changed to some extent. There has been a significant reinvestment in and apprentice numbers have come back to somewhat. So in the more recent past, there has been a certain, and as you said, it was more to do with external economic activities that this happened. But again, it was really in the context of the extra strain that put on the smaller colleges.
Sure. Okay. Just on the figures for the MTU, our own campus here in Kerry and Cork, amalgamated. The figures you have in your report is there was an increase in, obviously, that bump there after COVID, as you were talking about, then a decrease over the last number of years, but you put it against the projected numbers that would be there. There's an increase last year, and it's now actually in line, is that right, with the projections that were made at the time for student numbers in the MTU?
Yeah, so exactly. There are certain ones. In fact, if you look at, say, the graduate programs, I would say the smaller colleges have campuses have been disproportionately hit. If you look at the overall numbers, the problems actually there are with the bigger campuses, or with TUD and with SETU, that they're struggling to make the projections that they had put. But yes, it is true that the MTU student numbers were not, we have more lately. And I think if we now add the data, it changes every year. It has increased a little bit this year as well. So again, it's a snapshot in time, as it were.
Okay. And Brendan, from that then, if you're looking at the overall picture of where it should go, what does your report say about the future direction, perhaps, or maybe what more study needs to be done? Because there is the old story of, you know, being asked of the impact of the French Revolution, and somebody saying, "Well, I'll tell you when we find out." And that's hundreds of years later. It's too early. Or sorry, the statement would be, "It's too early to tell." What would you say? Someone say, "Look, these are major changes, major amalgamations, a seminal moment in Irish education. That it's far too early to make a direct conclusion as to whether this project has worked or not."
Yeah, that's a fair point and something you would, of course, these processes are, you know, change over time. But what I would say is that the TU Act was 2018. There was a 10-year time frame put on it at the time. Yeah. All of the plans were for 10 years. As I say, we're halfway through that period. Unfortunately, the Act does not give any mechanism for reviewing progress or you know, doesn't say anything about what's...
Is that something that should be done then? Is that one of the things we need to keep a better eye on, either the political system, to Oireachtas committees, or the independent studies that are carried out to say, well, here's where it's going right, here's where it's going wrong, here's what needs to be done to change it?
Absolutely. I mean, I would see our paper as a process, as the first step in which we happen to be the first people who have actually taken stock of the system, if you like, after 5 years. And we have identified what we consider to be the problems. Now, there are other aspects of it that, of course, that other people have suggested are interested to look at. This is an ongoing process. It certainly can be turned around, but would have to be major changes, I would say. And I don't see the mindset changing much, I'm afraid. If you look at the history of the TU project, it has rather bumbled along for quite a long time. I would suggest that the funding mechanism seriously needs to be looked at, in particular with regard to the smaller campuses.
Does that mean more autonomy for the smaller campuses, Brendan?
So that's the other thing.
The money directly going to them rather than HEA.
Exactly. Now, the HEA does have this funding that it uses for different things, and they have mentioned that it could be used for regional provision. This being the phrase that's often used, that for education going to where people live rather than having to have them commute or having to get them to move into the cities. Which, by the way, of course, is, if you think about it, I mean, our cities are under terrible stress, whether it be from
and
rent, whether
the housing crisis there, and the housing that crisis needs to be done anyway.
And if you look at even the bigger campuses of the TUs, a lot of them are very hemmed in the big cities. They do not have the space to expand. In fact, you know, the best place to expand education in this country is in the smaller campuses in the regional. So that's one of the things, I guess, that we wanted to highlight, is that this is something that needs to be addressed going forward. And it is something that mechanisms could be put in place to strengthen the smaller campuses within the bigger campuses, but also ring-fenced funding, because it is more expensive. I'm sorry, it just is. We have a spread out population, and that just makes it more expensive to provide anything, you know, whether it be education or not. We would like to think that somehow we would raise the awareness of this, and that, you know, some concrete changes could be made to alleviate some of the difficulties that we've addressed.
Okay. All right, Brendan, look, interesting reading. It's there for anyone who wants to assess it and read it. I'm sure it'll be peer reviewed and there'll be political reaction too. But thanks for taking the time to talk to me this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Bye.
That's Brendan Guilfoyle there, alongside Joan Cleary, researcher at the MTU's campus. They're mathematics lecturers and researchers, I should say, and they've done that report on the, the first taking stock of the process of amalgamating institutes of technology across the country into technological universities and making some findings in relation to student numbers, making some findings in relation to funding, the funding models and all of those things. And they've made some conclusions saying, look, that this hasn't worked out as was promised. Maybe it's a bit too early at this stage to make a clear delineation as to what's worked and what hasn't worked. And I would argue a lot of changes have happened as well. The overall increase in student population coming into it as well. And the apprenticeship side of things, as we talked with Brendan about. But if you have a view on it, get in touch with us on the programme. What do you think?